Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Cheers.
Cheers.
To the to the last episode.
Here we go.
Of the season.
Oh, that's lovely.
Be slaying your ways by any
She started. Miss Love Juice over here.
Hello, I am Matthew.
And I'm Brendan, and our pronouns are he and him. Today we're speaking with Danny Keeling, an advocate for stem cell donation and a green political candidate.
Mm-hmm. But first, we just mentioned with a little cheers.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be our last episode of this season, season three.
That's taking us by surprise, isn't it? Us, the listeners, I mean. yeah, we didn't really say it. We didn't really know officially, but yeah, we've decided to have a bit of a break. We gave you seven episodes pre-Christmas, seven after. That's a nice balance for you.
Yeah, all. I wanted to round it up.
And I'm going to be heading into exam season. Matthew's going to be starting a new job very shortly. So it's going to be a bit full on for a couple of months. So we decided to park it for a sec and we'll be back.
So before we get properly into this episode, I will say, and this isn't just to keep you listening, it is actually very, very exciting. We've got something to share, a little project that we've been working on over the last...
Do I know what it is?
Couple of months. Yeah, you know. Well... For once, you haven't done any of the work. The shoe's on the other foot. It is a project that I am incredibly excited about because it involves Liverpool and quite a big, dead sexy organisation. So stick around to the end because we will be sharing that. So I guess for the final time this season, how are you?
I'm good. Today I am sprightly. I am.
You are.
You've been... Bedbound.
Bedbound. I've been here for a week.
I have. I threw out my back steaming a shirt.
How old did you turn in January?
64.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I was steaming a shirt, dropped it, tried to grab the hanger. Pop. Pop goes this little weasel. But I'm so happy. That's why, yeah, because today is the first day that I have got my stride back. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing little itty bitty steps. And yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I am okay. So you've just mentioned I am in the final few weeks of my job. So I'll be starting a new job at the end of this month, which I'm really looking forward to. It's been quite an intense notice period, just because it's like all happened so fast. So I'm sad to be moving on, because it's been an amazing job and the stuff I've been able to do. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to something really new as well. And I will say as well, I haven't mentioned this to you or to anyone actually. I've noticed, especially within the last 2 weeks, my general mood and motivation and energy and everything, I think, has been a lot better than it has been for a long time. So I think I've found the right dosage.
Oh, that's good.
I know there was like a few things that were thrown in since I started them, like a hate crime and all the time off work. But within the last couple of weeks, I've felt close to where I would like to be.
Good.
So yeah, I'm happy.
Very pleased to hear it.
Thank you.
We'll do a little cheers to that.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
This episode is kind of going to read a little bit like a sponsored episode, and it's really not. We are just quite interested in this topic and this charity. So bear with us if there's a bit of spiel that we need to get through, but it's all in aid of a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we just get into it?
Yeah. So initially, the way that this started off was Anthony Nolan, the blood cancer charity, got in touch with us. And asked if we'd be up for doing something with them.
Mm-hmm.
When me and Brendan spoke, we realised that both of us were on the register already, mm-hmm. and I don't think we knew that the other one had done it.
No.
Understanding, I guess, the importance of what it is that Anthony Nolan do, we wanted to see what we can do with it. So here we are now.
Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, they are a charity that makes life-saving connections between people with blood cancer and incredible strangers ready to donate their stem cells.
So some stats for you. They currently save 3 lives a day, but they do need as many people to join the register as they possibly can get. With the pandemic especially, they haven't had as many people join as usual. So they've got a real shortage of young men aged between 16 and 30 on the stem cell register. Luckily, you're outside that bracket now, Brendan.
Hey, no, I'm still in it. I'm the 30 of the 16 to 30.
So if you are listening now and you are in this age bracket, you're in good health as well. You can apply online by filling out a form. They'll send you a cheek swab in the post, and you just might be the perfect genetic match for a patient with blood cancer who needs your stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed when I signed up how efficient and easy everything was.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it was just the easiest process, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. I always get nervous with HIV tests, with the prick you have to do with your finger, and mm-hmm. even though like I always do it, and you have to do it anyway, but it does make me have a bit of pause. But with this, it's just, yeah, so simple.
Yeah, it's not as invasive as even the COVID swab. It was literally just a little swipe around your cheeks.
Yeah, we're all used to swabs now, aren't we? But there are a lot of myths and misunderstandings around donating stem cells, but the truth is 90% of people who are a match actually donate their stem cells through their bloodstream,
mm-hmm.
in a similar process to how you give blood.
There's a lot of hoops and hurdles to get through if you mm-hmm. want to donate some blood, which obviously is not the case with Anthony Nolan. There's no restrictions. So if you're gay, bisexual, any sexuality, any gender, you can join the stem cell register.
And I think that's why they've been doing such a push recently, because I think when it comes to donating things of this sort,
mm-hmm.
Gay and bisexual people might have that preconceived idea that they can't because of...
Yeah, just assume.
The same categorizations as donating blood, mm-hmm. but thankfully that isn't the case. So you can find more about how to join the stem cell register by signing up online. This is our first code of this sort, but you can go to anthonynolan.org/bottomingpod. That's anthonynolan.org/bottomingpod. And you could be the person that saves someone's life.
So when you've listened to the episode, as per usual, we'll put these links in the episode bio on the website and on the show notes. Give it a little click and get signed up. Costs nothing, super easy, and you'll be a hero.
So to tell us a bit more about the process that's actually involved when you're donating stem cells and a bit more about their own journey with mental health, here is Danny.
Hey, Matthew and Brendan. It's Danny here. My pronouns are they, them. And I live in East London.
It's nice to digitally meet you. I know we're not doing this one in person. But we'll kind of get on, I guess, to some of the work you do outside of Anthony Nolan. But I think to kick off, can you tell us a little bit more about the work that Anthony Nolan do and why you signed up to the register and what the register is?
Sure, absolutely. So Anthony Nolan are a life-saving charity. They're for people with blood cancer, blood disorders, and they create a connection between the donor and the patient. It ensures that there's a life-saving stem cell donation, which is made between the two people. Mm-hmm. So I donated in 2015. Mm-hmm. Really simple to sign on to the register. Literally, I went to anthonynolan.org, signed up. I think their campaign motto back then was "Give a spit," mm-hmm. And you would literally just spit in a jar, and then they got your DNA, basically. But I believe now they do a cheek swab, mm-hmm. which we're all used to now.
Yeah.
I'm sure sticking swabs up our nose and down our throats. So the reason I joined was because of the blood bank rules. Mm-hmm. It was really archaic in 2015 with the whole go celibate for 12 months. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, it's still 3 months, mm-hmm. which still makes no sense at all. I matched within 8 months, which is very rare, mm-hmm. Because some people don't even match in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the stem cell donation is through the blood. Mm-hmm. You only donate if required, mm-hmm. and if you match, mm-hmm. and importantly, 1 in 200 males under 30 match, which is pretty amazing, as for everybody else outside of male and under 30, it's 1 in 800.
Oh wow.
So it's really important that men under 30 sign up to the register, because they're most likely to match with really desperate patients.
Both me and Brendan are on the register. I signed up maybe last summer at this point, but I'll admit, like, I, before doing more reading, I actually saw one of Anthony Nolan's campaigns saying that they needed more LGBT people, especially men. And can you just explain a bit more why? And I guess also the thinking that I had before was similar to what you explained about the blood donation rule. I just kind of thought that meant any sort of blood-related procedures would exclude me. So I kind of similarly was encouraged to do it because I was like, well, I can't do that and I'd like to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And yeah. I think it's important that, especially there's so many people out there who want to give back in some mm-hmm. way or want to help support people that can't quite do it alone. So I had my donation in the Harley Street Clinic. You get to pick which clinic you go to. but it was very interesting because my donation included separating my plasma and my stem cells, mm-hmm. which after talking to Anthony Nolan, I don't think this is a really common thing. Mm-hmm. I think it was because I'd signed a release form for research purposes. Mm-hmm. And again, plasma's not required. And if they're stimulating my stem cells, I'm going to create a large amount more anyway. Mm. So I was in the hospital for 4 hours. And some people have to go back the next day because they haven't produced enough. Mm. But they said within those 4 hours, I produced enough for 3 transplants. And it was a record on the amount of plasma that had been donated.
Wow.
And now I will tell you the frustration I have with the blood bank. still to this day, it makes me irate. At the beginning of COVID, right at the beginning, what were they asking for?
Plasma
donations. Yeah. I was like, yes, please. And I had a lovely phone call. And yes, it's the blood bank.
I didn't realise.
So Let's put this into perspective here. I currently hold a record for the most amount of plasma donated in High Street Clinic. And the blood bank are turning around to me and saying, no, you need to be celibate for 3 months before you do this. And I'm like, yeah, but
it like, doesn't make sense, does it?
Like I have technically this
excessive plasma, some may say.
Yeah. It's just oozing out of me.
So I think if someone was to, you know, I mean, even me, even though I've done some reading, I'm still not, I guess, entirely sure as to what the physical process is like. Obviously, talking about giving excess plasma, you know, some people may think, what on earth does that look like? When you turned up at Holy Street, can you kind of just give us an overview of like what that actual process is like? Because again, before reading, and I'm sure you're the same, my thoughts and knowledge, I said, well, it was obviously not knowledge because it was incorrect, was that it was a huge needle that went right to the center of your bone and it was really painful. And obviously, that's one of the reasons people don't sign up. Can you kind of tell me how long I am?
Me, myself, I went to Harley Street, turn up, and basically they just need to run an MOT on your body. So I had a chest x-ray, I had an ECG, and copious amounts of blood taken. We finally got to a point where my patient was able to take the donation. So what happens is, now that's very different now, but in 2015 I was having a nurse come to my home or my workplace and should basically give me an injection and on a daily basis. Now, I've been told by Anthony Nolan now that then you do, I think it's about 3 or 4 injections over the week. Now, things have moved on, obviously, in the last 6 years. We played Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, where we're going to stick the needle today. because one day I'll have it in the arm, then in the belly, then in the bum, then in the other arm, once had it in the leg. Like, and basically all that it's doing is it's tricking your body into thinking you've got the flu.
Okay.
But you have zero symptoms of having the flu.
Mm-hmm.
People feel the side effects very differently, but I felt like I slowly aged to about the age of 70. Oh, I think I went from 25 all the way to achy bone old man, to the point that I literally had to roll myself out of the bed. Like, I really felt old.
Oh, gosh.
Helicopter to Holy Street.
I'm like... Oh, no. They send you a beautiful car. They send you a beautiful car. So you're just going to roll out of bed into said car and then roll out of said car into the hospital. So next thing you know, they turn up with some Valium for me. Which is a beautiful experience, of course. Almost psychedelic even. I'm sure that they even gave me more than I'm being prescribed currently. But like, you lay in this beautiful bed. In one arm, there's a tube, almost like a normal cannula that you would usually get if you were having a drip or something like that. And then exactly the same in the other arm. So blood goes out of one arm. It goes into this magical machine, which is sitting next to me, which is spinning and separating my stem cells from my blood. And then my blood is going back in the other arm. So I'm not losing anything. I'm just getting rid of everything that I built up that week through my immune system. Now, a lot of people complain that they feel a bit achy, like they've had a long gym session. I'm going to be really honest. I went from Biden to Kamala.
When it had taken all of it out of you.
Literally. I went on a night out in Soho after.
Stop.
Like, full on. I full on went for it. Like, and everyone was like, what? Are you right?
And how long did you say this was? Four?
It was about 4 hours.
You were in there for 4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah, it's about that.
In terms of the chances of matching, I assume you can match more than once, but it's probably highly unlikely. Is that true?
So what happens is, I forget how many years it is after you first donated, but they keep you almost on hold just in case the other person requires another donation. And then you're politely asked, would you like to go back on the register? Obviously, it's entirely up to the, the donor. I have not matched again. But as I said, if you're under 30, which I'm not anymore, then it's 1 in 200. So now I'm probably now in the 1 in 800. Now, what I explained is one way that the donation can happen. And 90% of the time, that is how it's done. So it's a stem cell donation through the blood and through this magical machine that sits next to you and does probably does the dishes while you sit there. The other way is via the bone marrow, which is the way that everybody freaks out about. That, oh my God, what if this happens? And again, this only happens 10% of the time, and it's entirely dependent on the patient. And obviously, there's a lot more conversation and discussions which are had between yourself, the doctor, the patients, and everybody else. That one has a little bit more recovery time, and basically you just ache a bit because it's a little bit more intrusive, basically. And they're basically pulling it out of your spine.
But you said 90% of the time it's how you had yours. Cool. So obviously after you've gone through that process, you know, 6 years on, you're now talking to us about it. So obviously, you know, you're friendly with Anthony Nolan and still continue to work. Is there anything else you've done with them in the past?
After the donations, I was obviously really infused and really inspired by the work that they were doing. And I signed up for a few of their campaigns, basically still, well, still to this day, they're still getting, trying to get a lot of gay men on the register, because of course, gay men specifically that are under 30 still feel like it's the same rules as the blood bank. And also sometimes gay men are also scared that maybe they can't donate as well because they're on PrEP, and which is not the case either. Big thumbs up. I started doing a series of drag events in the basement of the Ace Hotel in Shoreditch in Miranda. Everybody probably remember it for the club night, Hard Cock Life. But it was basically events usually for Pride in London and a mix of creatives performing or different experimental things. Think probably Ducky at the RVT or something like that. But it wasn't just about raising money. It was about raising awareness, trying to get people on the register, trying to get people talking about it. Just trying to dispel a few myths as well. And then all of a sudden I got a letter in the post, and it was really weird because they were like, we want to put you forward for this award of Donor of the Year, which sounds like I'm a Russian oligarch. donating large amounts of money, but it was nothing to do with money because I have never donated any money to Anthony Nolan at all. I didn't win the award, but I was commended. I think there was three or four people that year who went up for it. And obviously it's really hard to get because obviously, A, you've got to match and donate. And then you have to do a lot more. And that was in the House of Commons. And yeah, that was great. So in 2016, I got my what's called an ANSA, which is the Anthony Nolan Supporter Award.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Is that for all of the excessive plasma?
That's absolutely.
That's what got you that, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And it usually sits pride of place either on the top of my bookshelf or next to what is the dregs of alcohol, which is supposed to be cocktails or the alcohol shelf, but there's never any alcohol left most of the time.
So we know you've been open about your experiences with your mental health. How have you been doing recently?
Up and down, really. I've struggled most of my life with mental health issues, and it is really difficult. And I know so many of my friends that it's almost like this club, almost this special club everybody's part of, and nobody really talks about it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're on the same pills as I am. There's obviously still stigma around all mental health issues and mental health disorders, and people are affected by it in all sorts of different ways. I have just finished my course of therapy in the last couple of months. It lasted a year. It was with it was through the NHS, and my psychiatrist and the therapist said to me, right, we want you to go for another year and a half. And like, cool, sure. Yep, more than happy to do that. I gained a lot out of this therapy. And for anybody out there that is scared of doing therapy, go for it. I did group, which was even more like, I don't really want to do this. Like, all of a sudden, like, 10 other people knowing all of my issues. But it turns out everybody has issues that you can relate to. You end up making such good communications, such good relations, and you're like, oh God, I wonder how Steve is this week, or Rupert, or Sally, or whoever. And you can bounce off one another. I almost felt like a lab rat there, because we did it in COVID times. So we never actually met. It was all on Zoom. And then there was a follow-up session 3 months after it all finished. And it was the only time we ever met. Like in person. And everyone was so excited. And it was just really nice.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Really
nice. That's really sweet.
Nice.
But if I get backwards here, the issue is that they said you need a year and a half more. However, on the NHS, you now need to wait one more year because you've just had a year. So you have to wait one more year until we can give you another year. So they basically recommended me to go private. At what point in this world have we got to a point that the support and the services that are required by what they like to call a service user is go private? This is not accessible to everyone. Like, it's not really accessible to me. It's not accessible to people on low incomes. It's not accessible to people with children. It's not accessible. It's not accessible to a lot of people. Like, the fact is that you're going to be paying at minimum £40 an hour for therapy. And for a year and a half of that, it adds up. But that, to me, should never be the answer. And it really frustrates me that that is the final option in trying to get the mental health support that's required, or just waiting. Waiting and hoping. Hoping for the best that you can make it through without any support apart from the pills that you're on. But that moves me on to what I'm aiming to do, which is this is one of the reasons I'm running next year as a green councillor in Stratford Olympic Park. Because, of course, the local boroughs and the local authorities have the spend power to put into healthcare, adult social care, mental health. And there are these amazing resources in different boroughs for these things. For example, here in Newham, we have a program called Talking Therapies. There's another one which is, which I was on, which was Psychodynamic Services. But mainly what is relied on, which shouldn't ever be the case, is charities. So, for example, here in Newham is there's a massive office for the charity Mind. And yes, I'm sure these charities, and I know, well, I've just spoken about Anthony Nolan here, and no charities do really good work and really good research and really good work within their communities. But the fact is that our National Health Service should be providing those services in the first place. And that's why I really want to get behind the people of Newham and be like, you deserve better. Also, I kind of want to be the first non-binary counsellor on the council.
So that's exciting. Amazing. So when will that be? Will that one of the next elections that's May?
So the next London elections are next April.
April.
So me and my running mate, Nate, we've been out and about.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of destructive tag team. You got Mr. Non-Binary Me, and then we've got Pretty Twink Gay running around as well. We're like the best team ever, to be honest. I'm going to go back to the Kamala and Biden. We are literally that tag team. When we were selected, he did send me a gif of Kamala Harris saying, "We did it, Joe. We did it."
Thank you, Danny, for giving us your time. Similarly to a lot of interviews this season, we've moved some around and had to shuffle things, so this was recorded a little while ago. So yeah, thank you again for your patience.
Mm-hmm.
It is still all for a very important reason, so yeah, as mentioned before, you can go to anthonynolan.org/bottomingpod if you'd like to sign up to the Stem Cell Register.
As we mentioned in previous episodes, specifically the therapist chair episode, no journey with mental health is the same, and you're not always going to come up against the same challenges as someone else entering the services. I myself was really lucky with the NHS and had a great entry into my therapy, and it was very swift, and I actually was paired with someone who was LGBT, so they knew kind of the general nuances around that subject. So don't let negative experiences put you off reaching out for support. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, give you a bit of teasing about the Liverpool project, which is pretty much nearly here.
Mm-hmm.
We can officially say generally what it is, mm-hmm. which is...
We are partnering and working with the Museum of Liverpool, which is part of National Museums Liverpool. And we are going to be, or we have produced some audio content in the form of an LGBT+/queer trail
mm-hmm.
of some of their objects around the museum.
Audio trail.
We're not going to be scavenging around Formby Beach, don't you worry. Yeah.
You have to find the eggs hidden in the artwork.
Yeah, we were absolutely thrilled when we were asked to do this. We've obviously not done anything quite like this before, and as I've mentioned in a load of episodes, my relationship with Liverpool's been quite rocky, and I think this has been, for me anyway, really, really important and quite crucial in rebuilding that relationship I've got with the city, and linking that in with my identity and where I am now with it, to try and make it a positive experience. So yeah, I'm just really, really excited for this, and we will share across our socials mm-hmm. when everything goes live. At this point of episode release, it should be out there, so
yeah,
you can check it out at Bottoming Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever else you get your socials.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow at @NML_muse to stay updated. But we expect to see many a photo
mm-hmm.
of you on the Avanti Express up to Liverpool. I'm making your way over to the Museum of Liverpool in the Pierhead to get us again in a different format.
Yeah.
Talking about some really lovely things.
Yeah, I will say I've definitely learned a lot from this. Thankfully, you were the one that wrote everything, so reading all the scripts was very enlightening.
Mm. What was your most interesting piece?
I think something we recorded not very long ago, which is the Huntley Palmer's
mm-hmm.
jar.
The biscuit company.
I had no idea they were involved in some sort of secret messaging.
Well, they weren't directly involved, but it was...
Well, you know.
They were used as a code name by a government official
mm-hmm.
in a very big report, very famous report that you will know of. They used Huntley and Palmer's to make sure that the women working in the office weren't offended,
because mm-hmm.
they were actually talking about homosexuals and prostitutes.
Oh my god, it's just clicked to the H and the P. Oh god.
So Huntleys and Palmers, Huntley and Palmers. Yeah, they were
homos and prostitutes.
Homos and prostitutes, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You actually stole what I think also was one of my favourite ones, but the one I did enjoy researching specifically, I think, was the Sonic Youth Club Night. So that's like an alternative LGBT event and night that's been going since 2016. And I just would have loved to have had that when I still live there, because it just looks amazing. And it brings together all the small elements of Liverpool's nightlife that I went to, but it maybe wasn't as fully formed as what I would have liked, I think. So, yeah, I think Sonic Youth are doing some amazing things, so it was really nice to research more about them too.
As we mentioned, it's the last episode of the season. So instead of our positive thing of the week, we will share what our favourite parts of season 3 were.
I wish you'd have prepped me for this. Yours is like, my favourite bit will be in 5 minutes when I log off.
I don't need to say anything else, that is so true. Joking. I will say, you know what, we mixed it up a little bit in terms of our some of the things we covered this season, and I think my favourite part, despite the weather, despite the chill and the... I'm going to say it's when we went to Positive East Red Run and
did a bit of... Roving Report on the scene. I don't think we ever shared that video, those two videos.
No, we didn't, but we shared the audio in the episode.
Yeah, well, we'll share the video with some
no,
extra
we're not
content.
Gonna, no.
I will share the content.
No.
As little surprise videos. I'm
you
gonna
don't
do
have
it.
My permission.
I'm going to do
you
it.
You don't have my permission. There's laws against it, Matthew. There are. So that's probably my favourite. What's your favourite?
I think, yeah, similarly, I really enjoyed the human aspect of being able to actually speak to people, which, other than World AIDS Day and the Red Run, the only other time we did anything in person was with Lapsley. And I think, yeah, it was... I loved that interview. That was one of my favourite interviews that we've done, just because I've loved it for so long. So I think, yeah, the fact that we were able to switch things up and cover so many different topics and speak to loads of people again.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, thank you all for listening. It's just been...
what a treat.
Yeah, I think between season 2 and season 3, the amount of people that we've had get in touch and we know listen has just been amazing. So, yeah, just want to let you know that we are incredibly grateful for your continued support.
So we don't have a date when we'll be back for season 4, as was the gap between season 2 and season 3. Might be a month, might be 2 months. We're never completely sure. So follow us at Bottoming Pod on everywhere you have a social media account, and stay tuned.
Yeah, if there's anything outside of the podcast itself, we'll be sure to share it on there, which there may be more things crop up that we have
quite possibly
had conversations about. So yeah, at Bottoming Pod everywhere you go and want to go and be. That really is your lot.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Thank you, and as always, and you've got to take this with you, take this as a big one, you've got to take this with you for a while now until we're back. Don't you forget, honeys, sweeties,
get to the point,
gorgies, you're doing amazing.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Goodbye.
See you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.